You have come to learn and to be able to develop further. Before I get into the message, I just want to thank you. I keep forgetting to give Marjorie something to put in the bulletin. I always think about it when I get the bulletin. So I just really want to thank you for all your prayers and visits, texts, encouragement, calls, whatever. Some people even visited me twice. Well, only once, but they tried twice. I just really appreciate it. And God has been so good to me. I just want to give him honor and glory and just really having a good healing time. I pretty much feel progress every day. I want to share something with us that is, I feel, very, very important. I don't know what you think about when you think about spiritual warfare. You may get some picture in your mind of something just out of this world, unimaginable, whatever. I don't know what all you think about. But I want us to recognize this morning that spiritual warfare is a reality. And the reason it's a reality is based on the fact of the two kingdom concept. When you have two kings that compete with each other, you end up with warfare of some kind or other. And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you want to read a really interesting book, if you enjoyed Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan also wrote an allegory called The Holy War. And it's a thick book. But he goes through and he gives this story somewhat like Pilgrim's Progress, but it's about the war that's going on in the heavenlies. Now, this isn't a Father's Day message as such, but it is important for us as men, husbands, and fathers, because we are called to take the lead in this matter of warfare. Back when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, some enemies came and said, "We're going to make warfare against you. We're going to shut this thing down." And Nehemiah told the leaders in Nehemiah chapter 4, he said, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." And I would say that is a message for us as men today. We are called to fight for what God has given us and put in our care. Not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. And we'll talk some more about that. All right, questions. Why do we even want to consider this subject? Why is this important? What value does it have? Is it something just to talk about? Or is there a reality here that you and I need to get a hold of in order to be effective and to really live what God intends us to live and to have victories and to experience the blessings that God desires for us? So is the two kingdom concept important for us in understanding all of this warfare? I would say it is. I'd say it's of utmost importance. Unless we understand the two kingdom concept, we don't really understand the whole concept of spiritual warfare. You and I have a certain amount of choice whether to be involved in spiritual warfare. We can pull back and refuse to be involved in the front lines, but when we do that, we're still involved. We actually are aiding the enemy. So either we're on the front lines fighting with our King, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, or else if we pull back from that, we're actually participating and aiding the enemy. So how do we know if we're properly engaged in this conflict? You know, there's people out there that are convinced that they are involved in spiritual warfare and that they are effective for God, and yet they're doing things that just are not in agreement with what the King says. And so it's important for us to have an understanding. So another question is, in what ways might our efforts be misguided or not effective? And again, we have to follow our King's directives. That is so important in this whole thing. And then a question that often comes up when we start talking about spiritual warfare is this: can Christians actually aid the enemy? We're going to talk about that. But one of the questions that comes with that is how? How would we aid the enemy in this warfare? And so that's important for us to think about. Now, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as the scriptures speak about it, over and over and over, these two terms are used. And there are some that want to differentiate between these terms, and I'm not picking at that. I'm just simply saying both of these refer to the reality of the King, the one and only King, the God of heaven, the Creator, the Redeemer. Only He is only good. He's only truth. He's only love. He's only light. He is nothing other than those. Nothing opposite to those. And so it's important for us to see this picture. God, the King of all, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, rules in heaven. And you and I have the choice through Jesus Christ to become one of His. I love what our lesson this morning brought out. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says that Jesus, in order to be effective with us, became a partaker of flesh and blood. And then Hebrews chapter 3 starts with, therefore, because of the fact that Jesus became a partaker of flesh and blood, we can become a partaker of the heavenlies. We can become part of the King's army, of His family, of those who belong to Him. Now, on the other side are the kings, or the kingdoms of the earth, as the scripture refers to it. This king, these kings, those that have joined with Lucifer, with Satan, are temporal. They are not eternal. They're temporal. They're counterfeit. One of the things about this enemy is that they counterfeit everything that God does. They try to use it, try to duplicate it. They're destructive. They're usurping. The Bible refers to them as principalities and powers. Those that rule, not just on earth, but in heavenly places, in darkness, in evil. Something struck me when, a lot of this, Landon's heard a good bit of this. I teach a class at Kazakh on spiritual warfare. But one of the things that struck me as I was preparing that class is this reality. If you noticed, the king of the kingdom of heaven is reality, all capital letters. That's the real reality. The kings of the earth are reality as we see it, as we understand it. It's not the real reality. It's only what we see. It's only temporal. It's only what's visible to the eye. These kingdoms, or this king, constitutes the un-kingdom. I just continue to be amazed at this. You start looking through the scriptures and you start looking at all the unwords. Unloving, unkind, unthankful, unholy, unrighteous, un. What's that describing? The unkingdom, right? That which is opposed, that which stands against the kingdom of God. Unbelieving, all of these things. And one of the interesting things to me as I look at that is Jesus says to the Pharisees that they are part of that kingdom. The most conservative religious people of the day were always against. Thank you, Jonathan. They were always, I want you to think about this, and I want you to go and do some digging. When you start looking at the Pharisees, they were people that were against. That's what they were known for. Jesus was someone that was for. He brought life. He brought light. He brought love. He brought the Father. The Pharisees brought their own agenda against. And that's an important thing for us to understand. So fighting against something does not make us on the right side of spiritual warfare. It depends what we're fighting for, what we're fighting against. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about this Antichrist person, part of this kingdom that opposes God. And here's what he says. He says, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. So that he has, or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He opposes and exalts himself against everything that is called God. So here's God's kingdom. The kingdom of the king of reality. The only king. The only wise God. The only eternal king. And here is this kingdom that comes against God, opposing and exalting itself against everything that is called God. That's pretty descriptive. That's a pretty strong statement and a pretty clarifying statement about what is going on around us. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, we have two choices. We either are agreeing with God or we're opposing God. There are no other choices. We're either agreeing with him or we're opposing him. And that's what unbelief is, what we were talking about in our lesson today, where we oppose him. We choose to believe ourselves and our own things rather than what he says. Because our little reality makes so much more sense to us than the reality that he declares. So exalting or pride, opposite of belief, part of unbelief, is an integral part of this kingdom. It's core. It's a core value of the kingdoms of this earth, the kingdoms that oppose God. Luke 18:14. I tell you, this is the publican and the Pharisee praying. So Jesus says, I tell you, the publican went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. Why? Pay close attention. This is part of the whole idea of spiritual warfare. Everyone that exalts himself is going to be abased. Exactly where this whole thing of spiritual warfare started. Lucifer exalted himself, said, I will be like the Most High, and God abased him. He put him down. He removed him from his place. He lowered him. So everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see kingdom principles here. You see spiritual warfare principles here. God is going to bless, God is going to use, God is going to exalt those of us who choose to humble ourselves, who choose to agree with God. What was the Pharisee doing when he was praying? Was he agreeing with God or not? God, I thank you that I'm not like everybody else. Was that an agreement with God or with the enemy? With the enemy. I do all this, I do all this, I do all this. Well, yeah, he did that. But why? Jesus called it out when he talked to the Pharisees. He said, what you do to be seen of men. Why would you do something to be seen of men? To be exalted, right? Is that agreement with God or is that agreement with the enemy? So, you know, this whole thing gets very interesting. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, we're casting down imaginations and every high thing. And when he talks about high thing here, you remember in the Old Testament, there were the high places. They always had these altars and these groves and these places where they would go to worship demons, high places. And so there's every high thing. There's all these demons that were part of these high places, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So two different places. Luke talks about it. Jesus actually is saying that, but Luke records it. And then Paul comes along and talks about it here in 2 Corinthians. Those that exalt themselves against God, against the knowledge of God. And we bring into obedience, into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the picture there is a picture of bringing captives in a war. So our thoughts actually need to be brought into captivity, just exactly like he says, and brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are in agreement with God. Now, the church's mission is to manifest the superiority of God's kingdom. Let me ask you something. How does your life, my life, how does your life or my life display the superiority of God's kingdom? Or does it do the opposite? See, Paul tells us that the reason that God has put us as the church in this place is so that the principalities and powers, the enemy, might see clearly the manifold wisdom of God manifested, declared in the church through God's people, through God's family. So our responsibility in this whole thing of spiritual warfare, one of our responsibilities is that we are to make manifest, make it clear to the world around us that our God reigns, that our God is king. And we need to ask ourselves, is my life doing that? Or does my life just point to me or something else? Important question to ask because it has a lot to do with spiritual warfare. Now, something else I want us to pay attention to. We get into a lot of discussion, a lot of stuff going on in our world today, and we can get pretty riled up about what's happening around us. But it's not about liberal or conservative. It's not about Pharisee or Sadducee. It's about evil forces. Paul says clearly, he could not make it more plain than he does in Ephesians chapter 6. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not. If you're wrestling against flesh and blood, you are not involved in the proper spiritual warfare. If our fight is against other people, we are not involved in God's army with the intent to bring his kingdom to earth. That's so important for us. And in fact, it actually goes even beyond that. When we wrestle against human beings, and we can start naming things here, gossip, accusation, belittling someone, and we can go on and on and on. When we participate in those things, as Christians, so-called Christians, when we participate in those things, we are aiding the enemy. It's just like someone that's a spy. Every so often you find out this spy, a U.S. spy, was actually a double agent. He was aiding the enemy. He was taking, he was bringing stuff from them, but he was actually taking stuff to them too. He was a double agent. And when we get involved in all those type of things, we actually aid the enemy. The enemy is defeated, but he's not yet destroyed. I like how Paul says it in Colossians chapter 2. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. In front of all the earth, in front of all the heavenlies, in front of all the demons, in front of all, Jesus Christ triumphed over evil when he died on the cross and rose again. But that evil is still here. That king is still here. He's still active. He's still full of effort to unthrone God, to make God look bad, to defeat, to steal, kill, and destroy God's army, God's people. He's still working hard to do that. And that's part of this whole thing of spiritual warfare. Proper prayer starts with commitment and allegiance to the king, and a desire to see that kingdom come to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray that from your heart, you are taking initial steps at being involved in kingdom warfare, in spiritual warfare. Because God's kingdom coming to earth is opposed by everything that Satan has and all those that work with him. And so, for his kingdom to come on earth is a spiritual battle, a spiritual war. And you and I need to be involved in that. His kingdom is righteousness forever. Under the sun, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now, remember the unking, unkingdom, unrighteousness. That's his scepter. That's what his kingdom's about, unrighteousness. God is righteous, he's unrighteous. And that's why all unrighteousness is sin. That's why all of those things are so demonic, so destructive, so hurtful, and so against the kingdom of God, because they are opposite. You know, there is no none, zero, nothing comparison between the two kingdoms. They have a king, but there is nothing at all even close to the same. Everything is contrast. You cannot get anything more opposite than the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. You can't make anything more opposite. And so you and I, if we are going to be effective as children of God, we have got to give ourselves to God's kingdom coming and his will being done in us and on the earth. And commit totally to that. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I want to talk about fighting for victory or from victory. this is so key of how we fight in this spiritual warfare. And it's there's some really beautiful things there that we can see and that we can learn. So thank you for your attention. There's so much more here that could be said, but we'll leave it at that for this morning, and we'll stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other, there will never be another, and you have made it possible for us to be your children, to be your soldiers, to help in the kingdom coming to earth. And we want to yield ourselves, we want to be in agreement with you, and we ask you, Lord, to show us today any place we are not in agreement with you. And we yield ourselves to you, O Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.